Go ahead. I was just waiting for everyone to finish pouring their drink.
Go for it.
You get that good pour sound.
In stereo.
It's a fresco sound.
Well, this is clearly the year where feature films are just diving in to this current war. I mean, either peripherally or very directly. Why do you think that is, and why is this the right time? I mean, we're so many years into it now. Why is now an okay time to be addressing this, do you think?
I don't know. I think probably we're just all actually late. But it's also, you know, you have impulses to kind of make real-time responses to things. But in the movie business, it takes 2-3 years to do a real-time response. So, I mean, I made this one and I have another one coming out called War, Inc. that we just finished, and which is about as unrestrained as Grace Has Gone Is Restrained.
Well, that's like there's more humor in that one, isn't there, from what I
understand?
Yeah,
black.
But that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but it's I just think people are just addressing it, you know.
And this part was written for you, is that right? That James had you in mind?
That's what he said, which is kind of strange and cool.
Did that surprise you at all when you found that out? I mean, you're certainly wonderful in the movie, but it's a very different direction for you to go. Were you kind of surprised, like, you know, a grieving father trying to break some news?
No, I mean, I always like, there's a really great piece of writing that doesn't, you know, you don't think in terms of typecast and stuff. It either excites your imagination. You think, oh, yeah, I want to do it. I really need to go do that. So I think he wrote a terrific script.
And you had this tension about you through the whole thing. You know, you had to be kind of sad and gloomy and tense. It was a difficult kind of staying in that mode.
Yeah, it was kind of a, it was a good challenging piece, you know, because it all takes place in this kind of twilight time or this time in between, this, you know, the time and the shock. So, you know, all the emotions are, time kind of contracts and expands, and it's like an accordion. And everybody's been through, you know, grief, or, you know, maybe losing a parent, or if you have any friends die, or anything, you know, you become so disorientated, you know. I mean, it's unlike any other time that you can remember, so.
And the scene when you finally told the girls, I know they initially shot that one way, and then they muted it later.
It was always the idea where we shot it. We shot it straight, and then we knew at some point we would remove ourselves from it and just watch it play on their faces.
I thought that was really effective.
I thought when we were making it, we thought, oh yeah, I might play like this, I might play like this. So we all knew, yeah.
How much did the, I mean, you're not usually known for making such a drastic physical transformation in a lot of the parts you played before. Can you... Was that really that bulk? Was that really you? Was that under there, or did they? Because it really changes your whole way of carrying yourself. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know what, it's just the way you wear your clothes, or you know, gain a little extra weight,
right?
Or not lose the weight. This is usually like it, but you know, I've done it. It's more like in line of I did a movie called Max.
Right.
Or Being John Malkovich, or some of those kind of more character-based roles.
Yeah.
What's something that surprised you most about diving into this role? Was it maybe any more difficult to sort of come out of the role once the camera stopped rolling than anything you've done before? Or when you looked in the mirror, did that sort of throw you off at all?
Well, it's kind of fun to not be, for me, is to do something where you can kind of not be involved in any part of the vanity aspects of acting, you know, because there's so many traps you fall into by wanting to look good.
Do you feel like that's usually a problem for you?
No, I think it's just a business. It's all about that. I mean, it's people want to do roles, but then it's also a movie and they want to look good.
I actually think it's been really attractive to do a role where you don't, Benicio del Toro and was the one where he just played that. He couldn't have made himself not look as good as he did, and it looked good because he didn't.
Yeah,
I think
it's always the paradox.
Yeah. What do you think about the story, though, in terms of, you know, you typically have the situation where the guy goes off to war and leaves him at home with the, you know, the wife and the kids, and this one turned it around. I thought that was kind of an important showing the other side of it. Did that attract you?
Yeah, I mean, it attracted me because I just thought the story worked, and I think that certainly is happening more, but it was more about, I thought it seemed to be a very honest kind of meditation on loss and grief. Mm-hmm. You know,
And I thought the brotherly role was really important, too. Like, on one hand, he could have been kind of the political statement from the director, but I think it worked, too. I mean, it set his views. Like, you can tell it's liberal, but what do you think about that character and working with him?
Well, Lizondo's a great actor, so I loved it. And basically, those arguments would mirror, I think, what was going on a lot in the country. And actually, when we made the movie, the war was much more popular than it was, and people who people weren't talking out as much about it, you know, because we're all supposed to be afraid to do that. And I remember when I knew I wanted to do the film was when I knew that the Bush administration had banned photos of the dead coming from the coffins. They mm-hmm. banned photos of that. I thought, well, that's the most disgraceful, political, or cowardly act I've seen in my lifetime. So these soldiers are making this ultimate sacrifice.
And we're censoring it.
And we're censoring it. Yeah. And there's no draft, but yet you're willing to pay mercenaries more than our soldiers and not give them body armor. Send them over there, and then you want to deny that it's happening or let Fox News tell us how we should view the war? So, all right, I'm going to do a story about one of these coffins coming home. And that was, and you know, I think when you have the right intention, the universe meets you halfway. So, but what I thought was beautiful about the story was that I have strong opinions about things. And, you know, if you want to go to the Huffington Post, you can read an interview I did with Naomi Klein about what I think about the ideology and the policymakers. But I'm very clear that that is nothing. I mean, only an idiot would think that has anything to do with the troops who are actually serving. And it would be, I wouldn't even engage in that argument with anybody because it would be so insulting to even think that you didn't support the troops in every way. But what I loved about this piece was that it pierced through all that partisan bickering, you know, where you're a liberal, you're a conservative, you're this, you're that, you're a Democrat. This is just a story about grief told from the point of view of somebody who's invested a lot in this military culture and his daughters, and they're asking really tough questions. And hopefully we show them as much respect as we can, suffering loss, so that this war, which is an abstraction to so many people, would feel real, you know. I mean, besides those troops and the people who are killed in Iraq, and all the suffering that's going on from the soldiers and the civilians, who's sacrificing for the war? Nobody. Cut some more taxes for the rich. You know. Go shopping. I mean, so to me, I just didn't. I felt like I had to. Like, what can I do? You know, I'm an actor, I'm an artist, and so I made a movie. Make a movie about it, and try to be at least one small piece of the solution rather than another piece of the problem.
It does seem like that's the approach some of these newer films are taking: is telling an individual story, making these statistics into like human beings.
That's
remembering
it. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Like in the Valley of Elah.
That's the whole point. It's like,
right.
what can you do? You can tell. What can you do? You can tell stories.
Yeah. And there's so much many to tell.
Do them with some enthusiasm and make it all human and real. And,
yeah. The portrait of this sort of staggering, you know, mourning. I mean, I've never really seen it done quite like this, but you do get a sense that your character, even in his own eyes, thought he was a better person when his wife was around, a better father, a better, because when we meet him, he's by himself, and then he finds out she's dead, and he withdraws even more to a degree in the fiction he creates with these daughters. But in some of the messages he leaves, you definitely get a sense that he's afraid that he won't be able to handle this at all. Like he doesn't have a sense of self without her as a part of it.
It's kind of like him calling her even after the fact.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's, you know, and if it's painful to watch, it was great.
I know.
Because, you know, I've had friends who've died, I've lost loved ones and stuff, and that was, like in a strange way when my relationship with them was straight, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They knew I loved them, and I knew they loved me, and it's sad and it's horrible, but it's part of life, right? If you invest in everything saying the American cause is just,
right,
and we're going here to support a certain set of ideals and beliefs, and we have to listen to and trust our leaders, otherwise we've got nothing. Mm-hmm. And then if you lose everything juxtaposed to that, that's a kind of thing where to have that sense of betrayal or that kind of thing, that I haven't gone through, and that's just what kept my imagination up at night, because I could barely deal with loss when I was straight with it.
Right.
You know, like when everything, this is just a part of life, and I'm one of the lucky ones. You know, everybody has to deal with it, but you just hope that you're approaching it where you've tied up your loose ends a bit, and you know, mm-hmm. you feel whole. But to feel like maybe this all happened for a lie,
you know,
I don't know how I would deal with it.
On sort of a different note, very much a different.
But again, my own politics and my own partisanship, I don't think had anything to do with this film in a strange way.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre, but it really doesn't. Like it has nothing to do.
It's a great character.
It's not an extension of. This isn't an extension of my.
Right.
You know, ideology or my whatever my thing is.
Right.
I just thought this was a very pure thing that should be just seen on its own. Mm-hmm.
You know, you obviously did Being John Malkovich a while back. If there was going to be a movie Being John Cusack that got inside your mind, what would that be like, and who would you want to star?
It'd be very chaotic. It'd be like a very class one hurricane. You know? Just wandering off out at sea, never striking mainland. I don't know what that means, but that's what came out.
So who's starring in that then?
Who's starring in the movie of me inside my head? Let's see. It'd be kind of cross between Cary Grant, Humphrey Bogart, Spencer Tracy, Bill Madlock, Julia Child.
That's quite an amalgam of a person.
Yeah.
What was it like working with the girls? You know, obviously, they're from here, first-time actors. Do you like the innocence of new actors like that? Or?
Yeah. I love the talent of actors like that. And they don't know enough to have any bad habits, and they don't know how to really lie. And I don't know, I just think somewhere around the age of 10 and 12, my friend, who's smarter than me, says everybody knows everything at 12. Mm-hmm. Like they have the greatest bullshit detectors on the planet, and yet they haven't like lost their innocence. Like the world hasn't beaten them down yet. Mm-hmm. Like they just know everything at 12. I think Shailen knows everything.
Did taking being a character, taking kids on a trip, did it make you reflect on road trips that you went on as a kid? And
yeah, of course.
Or
road trips I went on as an adult.
What are your strongest memories from road trips that you took, maybe as a kid and as an adult?
Well, I just think there's like that space where you know, there's the kind of, when you get into open space a little bit and you're in the space between here and there, it's like it's a time you kind of clear your head, because you're not anywhere yet. You're en route, and it's like you can feel a little bit, you know, all that mythology about the open road does have some truth. You know, you feel like it's a time to clear your head in some way.
Do you guys
time to think? You know,
did you bicker a lot when you were a kid on a road trip?
Oh yeah, five kids in a car. Yeah, sure.
I want to ask. I think 1408 just came out on DVD like this week or last week or something. But when you get involved in a Stephen King project, maybe you weren't aware of it beforehand, but you definitely fall under like a geek microscope. for any project of his? Was there like a point where you realized, oh, whoa, this is like, people are really paying attention to this before it even comes out?
I know, there's definitely like some subculture of the Stephen King people in that horror genre people. There's like a whole group of, a whole community of them. But they were kind of fun. I mean, I liked talking to them.
And then in the same, there's a whole different community. There's probably a lot of overlap when you work with Samuel L. Jackson. People just tend to like pay attention to what he's up to, just because it's such a curiosity sometimes.
It was fun. I liked doing that movie.
Looking down the road, I know you think about, you know, you want this great piece of art, right? And you feel like you haven't done that yet. What might that be?
I don't know. I don't know if you ever do that. You know, you're just striving. You know, you want to do something where you sort of transcend yourself. And,
you know,
it's like a great white buffalo. You know, you never know. You never know if you'll catch it. But
as of this moment, what's going through your head about the Cubs?
Maybe next year.
I don't know. I it's just it's depressing, but it's in some reason. I mean, I know the world's not going to end now, so that's good.
If you own the team, what's the first thing you would do?
With that lineup or with a different lineup? If I own the team and I have unlimited resources,
get a new lineup.
Get a couple of new pitchers, get a couple of new hitters, and I would move Soriano to the 3 or 5 spot.
I have Pinello's number if you want to get him on the phone.
I don't know if he's going to listen to me.
Are you still friends with Cardinals fans?
St. Louis fans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have St. Louis friends.
I'm from St. Louis.
Yeah, I got 2 really good friends from St. Louis. 3.
That's the best game to watch, the Cubs-Cardinals game.
Yeah.
Always good with these one each year. You were talking before about working with new actors, but you also have been working with a lot of new directors. When you're first sort of sitting down and talking to a new director, is there something that you're looking for from them to sort of convince you that it's safe to work with them? Is there something that you seek out from somebody that's relatively untested?
Yeah, just to see if they're, you know, open, if they're willing to, you know, be collaborative and learn something. About the process.
Have you ever been in a situation where someone has convinced you that's the case and it turned out not to be the case when you're actually shooting, or do you have a pretty good radar for that sort of thing?
I have pretty good radar. But that's all the time.
Like when you turn a film down, why do you usually turn a film down?
Either because I don't have confidence that the person is going to put their money where their mouth is. You know, because everybody talks a good bit. You know, so you have to sort of have a sense of it that they're going to do, or that they don't want to respect the certain process that you want to do to make a movie. Or that you just don't see the movie the same way.
You've been such a formidable actor for so long, yet you seem pretty savvy about, you know, not having too many ridiculous things being said about you or having your face all over the tabloids. What's that? Are there tricks to staying out of the tabloids, or it's just sort of a matter of not doing certain things? What's your philosophy about things like that?
Just hide.
Is that what you do?
From that, yeah.
How do you do that? They're ruthless.
I don't know. But if I knew, I wouldn't tell you, because then they'd find out.
there was a shoot that you were on. I was talking to a photographer, and he said that you were rolling your eyes a lot, so none of the photographers can get a good shot. Do you remember this?
What was it?
I don't know. It was something a year ago, but it's kind of like what he was talking about where you were kind of hiding from all the photographers. It was some red carpet for something.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah. I mean, I think there's only one way to go down if you play into that culture. There's only one way to go, and it's down. You know? So, I know you have to work with that kind of stuff, but I think you got to keep it a little bit at bay.
If someone was coming into town, and you could take them to 3 places or do 3 things with them in Chicago, what would they be?
Take them Wrigley Field, no doubt. You can't, how can you not? It's like the Taj Mahal of baseball. And I'd take to some other places, too. I don't want to say which ones.
And nothing could compare to Wrigley anyway, so.
Not really.
He doesn't want to say which ones because he doesn't want people to find him there.
He doesn't want the tabloid reporters to find him there.
But there's no tabloid reporters.
Thank God.
I know, thank God.
Yeah. The three films that you've got kind of coming out, like the 1408 and Martian Child and this one, seem very different from, I think, the kind of films that a lot of people sort of associate you with, although you've certainly gone beyond that. You mentioned Max before, but is this a deliberate thing, like, or is it just these are the three best ones that came at you at this time?
Yeah, a combination of things. Like one, you know, combination of elements.
Right.
I've never really done a family kind of movie before. It's like an adult family movie, but it's a very, you know, very sweet. It's like, so.
It did strike me that you'd done two films with child actors where they didn't really seem to be kid films. They seemed about trying something a little more mature.
Yeah, I think the one is, the Martian Child is definitely like a family movie that way, but it's a little bit more mature.
Yeah,
but and this one was just a great acting role. I thought,
right,
I loved it for the what it was saying about the war.
Okay.
Being a part of that kind of energy.
Did you see Rails and Ties?
Which one?
Allison's new film.
Rails no, I haven't. Ties. Is it good?
Yeah. Well, no, I was asking actually what you thought about it.
It is good. It is good. She was actually just here a couple days ago. Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with her?
Yeah, her and a friend from St. Louis actually called me when they were in town, but I was doing out of town.
Huh.
But, yeah. She said, my dad had fun doing the score for your movie.
If I may ask, what cell phone provider do you have?
I don't know. Why?
You must know.
I could check. I forgot.
Where are you going with that one?
I was just wondering.
Why? What's interesting?
Matt Sidelines is a phone hacker. So.
What? Are you trying to get my sister in trouble?
I was just asking a question.
I know, I'm kidding. AT&T at the moment.
So, do you guys ever have conversations about that? You and Joan?
About cell phones? No, we don't really care about cell phones.
That will get her in trouble.
Okay, we just don't. It doesn't come up. It's not the first topic of conversation. She's out. How's your provider doing? Good. Do you prefer this? No, we don't.